Well, we've been in this series on Psalm 23, and we've been looking at things that kind of turn our world upside down. Things like worry. We all have graduate degrees in worry and busyness. We're all so very, very busy, and damaged emotions. Every one of us have been hurt. Sometimes somebody hurt us on purpose. Sometimes somebody did it by accident, and we've been hurt. And Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, has dealt with those. Today we're going to talk about decisions. We all make decisions. And every decision that we make has a consequence. And because our decisions make consequences, they determine the success or failure of our life. And God in His Word says that He is willing to give us direction. He is willing to assist us in making decisions. Because honestly, decisions can bring stress. Every one of us know what it is to look at a decision and evaluate the situation and say, do I do this or do I do this? We all know second guessing ourselves, making a decision and thinking, what did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Should I have done this? You know, do I get in? Do I get out? Should I get married? Should I get a new job? Should I move? And the stress of decision begins to get a hold of you, and it just rocks your world. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded is a word in the Greek there that James uses that really means to stagger. And it's kind of a word you would use for a drunk man, somebody that's been sitting at the bar too long. And then he tries to get off his bar stool and he staggers a little bit. And then he runs into the wall and then he runs into the bar and then he runs into somebody else. He's staggering. And James says when you are a man trying to make a decision and you can't make up your mind and your mind is divided, do I do this or do that? He says you just go through life staggering. You're bouncing off of things and you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt somebody else. And James tells us that God is willing to give wisdom. In fact, in this Psalm 23, the shepherd's song, it says, He, that is God, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What is the path of righteousness? Well, it just literally means the right path. As the shepherd, He not only feeds us, He leads us. He provides for us, but He also guides us. He protects us, but He also directs us. God says, I will guide you through this life if you trust me. He guides me on the paths of right. He helps me make the right path. What David is saying is God helps me stay on track. And it's so easy to get off track. And when you look at this, I bet there are some of you today, I anticipated this, that some people today in every one of the services, last night and the first two this morning, I'll guarantee you there were some people sitting out there that said, Michael, I have tried this. I have tried to get guidance from God. I have asked God for guidance, but it doesn't work. I just came away more confused than ever. It doesn't work. Why is it so hard to know God's will? Why is it so hard to get God to give us guidance? Is it like God's playing hide and seek with us? Does God get some kind of perverse pleasure just making me struggle? No. No, God wants to guide you. In fact, I'll guarantee you, God wants to give you guidance more than you want to get guidance. But sometimes we have things to get in the way. For instance, if you have a mystical approach, and a mystical approach are people, you want an emotional reaction. You want God to speak inside of you, and you want to feel so good about it that you say, yep, man, that is God. God is speaking to me. But God is not mystical. And emotions, they lie to you. And if you make your decisions based on emotions, they can get you in trouble. Now, sometimes it's not all bad, but sometimes it's a wreck. Some of you are very analytical. And you are mechanical. And you want a recipe. Well, I want God to show me this and this and this. If this happens and this happens and this happens, then I must know that that is the will of God. But folks, God's will is not a recipe. It doesn't work the same way for everybody all the time. A recipe will cook the same for every person who uses it. God's will is not, it's not that general. It's much more personal than that. And then some of you are mystics. A mystic is a person who says, "Well, I just want God to send me an email. I want God to send me a note. I want it in the mailbox." Well, like the kid that was out with his dad. He had come home from the summer for school. He's trying to decide what he wanted to do. He was out plowing the fields on the tractor. And it got time for him to take his lunch. So he got his sack lunch, went over under a tree and turned the tractor off and ate his lunch. And then he just laid back, dozed a little bit. And all of a sudden he looks up at the sky when he woke up out of his night, and the clouds are revealing the will of God to him. You know how sometimes you can make animals out of clouds and stuff? Well, this kid looks up and he sees a cloud, and it looks like a G. And the cloud next to it looks like a P. And the cloud next to it looks like a C. And he says, "God, you're guiding me, you're guiding me. Go preach Christ." By that time, his daddy comes over, gets off the tractor. He says, "Son, you've been over here goofing off for about 2 hours. And he says, "Oh, Dad, God has spoken to me. Look at the clouds. They say, GPC, go preach Christ." And his dad said, "Son, what if that means go plow corn?" Kind of more likely, since you're out here and that's what you're supposed to be doing. God doesn't work magically, and he doesn't work mystically, and he doesn't work in a recipe. But he does tell us in his word four things that will help us get guidance. He tells us how to get on the right path. "He will guide me in the paths of righteousness." He will help me get on the right path. So what are they? Number one, ask for directions. Men, I know this is tough for us, because I know that I will go to Lowe's looking for a certain type of screw, and I will spend an hour, and five people, four of them will be women, and I ain't taking direction from no woman in Lowe's. I have to admit, she knows more about it than me. That ain't going to happen. I'm sorry, that's pride. I've got a little male pride. So I just look and look and look, you know. We got to humble ourselves somehow. Now, I may not humble myself at Lowe's or Home Depot, but when it comes to life, I don't want to be the guy who staggers and stumbles. I don't want to be like the sheep. Isaiah says, every one of us have strayed away like sheep. Sheep don't know how to stay on the path. Sheep are not very good at directions. And we are like the sheep, Isaiah says. Every one of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to do what? To follow our own. We left God's path to follow our own. And by the way, folks, that is the real issue. The real issue is most of us don't want to follow God. Most of us don't want to know what God has to say. We want to follow our own path. And whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, that is something that you have to deal with. We want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to admit that we need a guide. We need someone to give us direction. Sheep wander off the path. You know why? Because sheep have poor vision. Sheep have very poor vision. That's why sheep will follow one another off of a cliff. It is not that they're following each other off the cliff saying, "Well, I wish we weren't having to do this. Looks like we're all going to have to commit suicide." No, they don't even know it. They're so blind, they have such poor vision, that when Ralph in front of them falls off the cliff, they don't even notice he's gone, and then there they go. Well, you think about it for a moment. How much vision do you have? How much of tomorrow can you see? How much of next week can you see? How much of next year? How much of the rest of your life? Nothing. We are like sheep. We can't see very far. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, he knows it all. He put us here for a purpose. He put us here and he put us on a path. And he said, if you will follow this path, you're going to live a blessed life. So he calls me to depend upon him. He calls me and says, I want to be your guide. God made me. He wants to sustain me. I can't see into the future no matter how hard I try. So God comes along and he says, I made you that way so you would depend upon me and I can be your guide. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Every one of us have made a decision that seemed right, but it wasn't, haven't we? Everybody in here. We have all made a decision that seemed to make sense, but later on it turns out to be wrong, a dead end. And that's why we get off track. Just like sheep tend to wander, just like sheep can't see into the future, neither can we. We have to ask. We have to ask. People say, well, God never speaks to me. Let me ask you, how much are you asking him to speak to you? And that goes with the second thing. If you open your listening notes, once God is in a position to speak to you, you ask him, then you have to accept his directions by faith. Accept his directions by faith. You know, the Bible says that Jesus told us, ask and you will get an answer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock. The Bible says God wants us to ask. In James chapter 1, it says if you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask him. Now look at this. He will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make a godly decision. Wisdom is the ability to do it God's way. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Wisdom is the ability to make a decision the way God makes decisions. So he says, he will give you wisdom. But then look at this. Be sure you really expect him to tell you. Because if you don't act in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. You got to do two things. You got to ask the right person, that's God. And you got to ask the right way in faith. You got to have the right attitude. I have been guilty in my life, and you have too, of praying and asking God for direction. Now listen to me. We have prayed and asked God for direction, but we have never waited for an answer. We pray, God help me to know what to do in this situation. And then what happens? We don't wait. We didn't even wait for God to give us an answer. We go away and we get busy trying to figure it out. We may pray, God, I want to be open to your wisdom. Help me get an answer. But we don't spend any time waiting for him to answer. We just immediately begin to work. God, I want you to give me wisdom. Help me make the right decision. But we don't expect him to do it. And if we don't expect him to do it, he's not going to do it. He says, if you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you a solid answer. Expect it. Wait for it. Let him pour it into you. Because God bats a thousand. God's never made a mistake. God never made a bad decision. So I ask, I humbly ask, and then I accept it. I say, okay, now I get it. This is it. I'm trusting you and you're guiding me. And the third thing, you adhere to God's response. Once you humble yourself and ask him, and once he speaks to you, then you do it. You adhere to it. Right now, in this room, there are lots of TVs on. My best guess, there's about 9 of them. There's 2 in the cradle and 2 in the crib and 3 up behind you and 2 up behind me. Which means there are television waves all through this building. We can't see them, can't reach out and grab them, but they're working because the TVs are on. And if one of those TVs go dark, it goes dark for a reason. A TV will go dark if the receptor is not on. Every one of these TVs has an on-off button. You push the button and the receptor is off, it will be dark and it will not get the reception. And for some of you, your receptor is off. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What dies? Not my body. I'm a sinner, but my body is not dead. Not my soul, not my mind, will, and emotions. That's not dead. It's my spirit. And my spirit is the receptor to hear God. My spirit is what God speaks to. God doesn't speak to my ears. I've never heard the voice of God out loud. God doesn't speak to my personality. I've never seen God, and He doesn't act like a mime or anything else. He speaks to my spirit. And if I have never accepted Jesus, if I have never said I believe Jesus died on the cross, that God raised Him from the dead, and He died in my place, and I want Him to come into my heart and be my counselor, my guide, my Lord, if I've never done that, then the spiritual receptor is off. And you cannot hear God, and you cannot see God, and you cannot know when God is working, because your receptor's off. Your TV's not working. So what do? You got to come to that place. Am I going to be a Christian or not? Am I going to ask Jesus in my life or not? Because the Bible says His Spirit quickens our spirit. You know what that means? That means His Spirit turns on our receptor. That's what it is to be born again. I wasn't born again physically. I wasn't born again in my soul. I'm born again in my spirit, because my spirit is dead because of sin. But because Jesus died and He paid the price, when I accepted Jesus, bam! I mean, my spirit is made alive. His spirit quickens our spirit. It's made alive. Now, I know when God's speaking to me. And I can see the handiwork of God in my life. So if you're not hearing God, you need to ask yourself, is the receptor off? Have I accepted Jesus? There's another reason. Sometimes you don't see what's on the TV because you're not in the same room. If these TVs can go on all day long, but if you're out in center court, you're not going to see anything. And I think that's the way we are as Christians sometimes. God is speaking, but we're so busy doing other things and focusing our attention on other things that we're not thinking about the presence of God in our life. Consciously, answer the question, consciously, how many times this week did you just stop and say, the God of angel armies is by my side? How many times this week did you just thank God, I'm thankful you haven't left me? Maybe just look over and say, thank you for being here. God, you're behind me too. You're out there. How do you make a conscious effort to be in the presence of God? That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 73:23. I am in your presence daily. Because we take it for granted. Well, I'm going to see him later. I'll see him at church this weekend. And we don't even think about it. Every moment, every day, he is here. So got to get in the room. And then sometimes you can be in the room, but on the wrong channel. Because God, He's on channel 8, and sometimes we're on channel 3, and our mind is elsewhere. God says, listen, I want you to know, you have to listen to me. Job says God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. How does God speak? How does God speak to us? I believe with all my heart the number one way that God speaks is in this book. And I believe that's why you should read some of it every day. Every day. You should read some of this book. And let me tell you why. When God makes you spiritually alive, the Bible says that His Spirit comes to live in us. So the Holy Spirit lives in me. And when I read this book and I get this book in my mind, when I come across a circumstance like something makes me mad, and I have read this book about, you know, don't be angry and sin, because the Holy Spirit lives in me and I've got this book in my mind and in my heart, He can say to me, hey, Michael, remember what God says, don't get mad. Or when I'm tempted to hold on to my anger, He can say to me, Michael, remember what the Bible says? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Or sometimes when I'm not bothered by something, like abortion, the Holy Spirit might say, Michael, you ought to be a little bit angry about that, because there is an anger in righteousness, and that's not right. It's not right to be killing babies like that, and it ought to make you angry. But if I don't read this book and get it into my heart and into my mind, memorize some of it, the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to draw to mind. So the number one way God speaks to you is right here. Okay? The second way God speaks to you is through teachers. Have you ever come to church and thought, man, that was just for me? I have people say to me, you must be reading my mail. No, because you go to jail for stuff like that, all right? I don't read your mail. Well, let me tell you what happens. During the week, I pray for you. And my prayer is the same every week. And I've been praying this prayer every week for 27 years. But I continue to pray it because I believe in this prayer. And it is, God, I don't know who's going to be here Sunday. And I don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know the deep things they're wrestling with. I don't know where they're hurting. I don't know where they're discouraged. I don't know where they're struggling. But you do. So my prayer, Father, is this week, would you say something through me that touches their lives, that challenges them, that changes them? So if you sit there and you say, man, he's talking right at me, it's not me. That's God talking to you. And I don't mean to get some kind of, you know, weird stuff, because some of you are sitting there, Michael, you really believe God speaks through you? Yeah. And I'll tell you one better than that. I think he speaks through you. Because I think that sometimes God has a message for somebody through you. One of the reasons I don't like to miss church. I don't like to miss church because what if God prepared a message for me and I didn't show up? Really? And think about this. You only get to hear it once. I have to listen to it four times. And I think God does that because he just knows I'm thick-headed. But do you know that sometimes while I'm preaching, there's a part of the message that grips my soul, and I know that it's God saying, Michael, you need to shore this up. So God speaks to us through each other and teachers. I think God speaks to us through circumstances. Now, let me tell you something about divine impressions, what I call divine impressions. Sometimes God just impresses my heart. Not every impression is from God. All right, bad pizza could give you an impression. That ain't from God. So you need to test the spirits. And not every impression is about God. Some people would say, well, I don't believe in divine impressions at all. I don't think God works that way. Well, that's not right. God does work that way. And some people would say, every impression I get is from God. No, 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 no. Some impressions you get are just from your emotions. Have you ever been impressed to pay somebody back when they hurry ahead of you in the line at the grocery store? And you want to make them pay that in from God? But you have an impression, don't you? I'll show them. So God does speak with impression. He speaks in circumstances and he speaks in pain. The Bible says sometimes it takes a painful circumstance to get us to change our ways. So God speaks in all kinds of ways. And when he speaks to us, we need to adhere to that. We need to say, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to follow this. But if you don't get in tune with God every moment of every day, if you're not regularly in tune with God, you're going to miss it. If you get in tune with God, you're going to be on God's path. If you don't get in tune with God, you're going to be on your own path. And no matter how far off the path you are right now, God can guide you back. So that takes me to the fourth thing. Approach God when his will doesn't make sense. Now, I want you to know, I'm not God and you're not God. And sometimes God tells us things and it does not seem to make sense. All right? When the children of Israel had been enslaved by the Egyptians for 400 years, they had been slaves for 400 years. They began to do what we're talking about. The first thing they did is they cried out to God. You go read the book of Exodus. And in Exodus, the Bible says that the prayers of the people came to God. Save us, God. We don't want to be slaves anymore. So they called out to God for help. And the Bible says that the second step then came into play. That they waited for an answer. They asked in faith, they waited for an answer, and God sent them Moses. And Moses is going to be their deliverer. And then the Bible says they adhered to the commands of God. Because remember, the plagues, you had all of the plagues. And the children of Israel were given things to do during those plagues, especially when the death angel came. What were they supposed to do when the death angel came? They were supposed to get in their houses. They were supposed to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And they were supposed to have the feast. And the firstborn would be protected. And Pharaoh and all of the Egyptian families lost their firstborn son because they didn't adhere to the command of God. Okay, so they did it all. They asked God, we need a guide. And then in faith, they embraced Moses. Took them a little bit, but they embraced Moses. And Moses embraced it. And then they adhered to God. Okay, we're going to follow. And when God tells us about these plagues, we're going to do what God says to do. And then the last thing, when they didn't understand, because let me tell you something, they didn't understand in a minute. Because the Bible says that God led them out of Egypt. Remember? God led them out of Egypt. The Egyptians were so excited they were leaving, they started giving them gold and giving them jewelry and giving them special prize possessions. And the Israelites, they're just, ha, 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 we're getting free. And they're giving us gold. They're paying us to go, oh, la, la, la. And they're happy and they're singing and they're dancing. They're, oh, we're free. And then they get down by the Red Sea. And here's where it gets a little bit confusing. Because God has gotten them out of Egypt. They are free. We're free. And then they look behind them and there's some dust coming up. And one of their scouts comes running into camp and says, oh, we've had it now. Pharaoh changed his mind. He's sending his army. They're going to kill a bunch of us and make the rest of us go back. And the people of Israel, now they're really confused. God, you said you were freeing us. And I think God must have, he probably shouted, I see a path. And they're saying, there ain't no path. There's a Red Sea in front of us. And we got a mountain range on the right-hand side, and if you've ever seen that mountain range, you can't climb over it. Not with 1,700,000 Jewish people, little children. You can't climb the mountain and escape. And then on the other side, there's another mountainside, and you can't escape there. And they're saying, God, you told us, we asked, and we waited in faith, and we followed your commands, and we left Egypt, and here we are. There's an ocean in front of us, and there are mountains on either side of us, and Pharaoh's army is kicking up dirt coming after us. They're going to kill us. What are you doing? And this is where you adhere to God. Because let me tell you something. Some of you right now are in some confusing circumstances. And you don't understand why God has got you there. And it may be financially, and it may be relationally, it may be emotionally, it may be in your job. And you don't know why God's put you there, why God didn't do this and God didn't do that. And you're questioning God. Instead, you need to adhere to God. Because you know what God said? You got to remember this. They're like sheep. They can't see very far. And they're wandering. And they don't know. And the whole time God's looking at it and says, well, I see a way out. God says, I see a way out. Well, there's a pathway right there through the Red Sea. Oh, Moses goes over and he hides behind a rock. And he says, oh, God, what are we going to do? And God says, Moses, get up and get out from behind the rock and go out there and hold up your staff and let me show you the highway across the ocean. And Moses goes out and he lifts up the rod of God and man, there's a super highway right straight through to the other side and every one of those Jewish children walked across and I want to read you a psalm that they wrote years later. Look at this. It's in your notes. Psalm 77. Your road, they're talking to God. God, your road led by a pathway through the sea. Now look at this. A pathway no one knew was there. Man, when God's setting you up for a miracle, he's not going to show you everything. He's not going to tell you. We're sheep, remember? We don't have good eyesight. We can't see everything is out there. But our Heavenly Father is the God of angel armies. And he stands by our side. And he knows what he's doing. And when he guides you on a path, he's going to see you through. But you've got to adhere to his command. Do what he says. And if it's confusing to you, don't be running and asking everybody else. You approach God. You do what Proverbs 3 says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will do it. You don't understand? Well, you don't try to figure it out. You trust God. Never judge the path God leads you on until it gets to the end. Oh, how many times in my life have I criticized God's unfinished plan? How many times have I said, God, this ain't going to work? What I need to remember is my God doesn't make mistakes. And my God knows what's best for me, and my God sees the future. And He sees the end even when I can't. And all of these problems and all of these heartaches and all of these difficulties, these delays, these thorns in the flesh we talked about on Wednesday night, these physical ailments, these things that we say, but God, why? He knows. Lean not on your own trusting or understanding. Trust God. The Bible says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. Before you were born, He knew every step you would take. And God created you with a custom plan, and you have a choice. You can say like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. And when you stand before God in almighty judgment, and He says, did you do it your way or my way? And you say, well, I did it my way. Then God's going to say, then have it your way. But your way does not lead to heaven. Your way leads to broken lives and broken homes and broken hearts and broken dreams. But if you're able to say to Him, I did it your way. Look what He says here. In the way of righteousness, in the right way, there is life. Along that path is immortality. God says, if you can tell me you followed my way, then I want you to know you get the good life on earth and eternal life in heaven. And that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we walk your way. Some of us today making decisions about relationships and jobs and money and crises and health. Making jobs about parents and children and decisions about where we go and what we do. Speak to us. Let us take time to hear from you. And let us follow your plan. And when it gets confusing, help us to hold on. Not let go, but just hold on. Because we don't understand. We have questions. What we need really is not answers. We need the comfort of your spirit. Just like old Moses needed behind the rock, we needed direction. Go out there and hold up your arms. Let me show you a secret highway. Let me show you what I'm doing. And let us trust you for that. I pray in Jesus' name.